Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Oncordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my honored guest is Russ Tanner, and he will be redefining groupie. That's my little joke, and he let me use it as the title, but he has created so many groups on Facebook. He is well known for his group called Chemtrails Global Skywatch, and for his website, globalskywatch.com. But he is expanding his horizons and taking all of us with him. And I asked him if he would come on and share the new groups that he has created and why he's created them. And hopefully he will, you know, everybody will join them, and it'll be a promotion for them as well. So let me pick up Russ Tanner right now. Hello, Russ Tanner.
Hello, Sally.
Hi there. Someone's honking outside, so now my dog is going to bark.
Just really in time.
Why don't I mute myself until he stops, and why don't you tell people the roster of groups that you have created, and then we can delineate them. Okay, Russ?
Sure.
I will mute myself till he shuts up.
Sure, sounds good. As those who are listening, if you've been on the Chemtrails Global Skywatch group, which is the largest group I founded years ago, I did that to raise awareness about the ongoing aerosol injection campaign, which are the lines in the sky you see coming from these gray and white unmarked jets that suddenly started just blanking the sky years ago. And I wanted to find a way to reach people on many different levels and to help people, to wake them up to what's going on, because I've studied geopolitics as kind of a hobby for decades now and have kind of got a picture of what's going on in the world. So I want to share that. I want to help wake people up. So I started a number of Facebook groups. I have online forums and websites. This is not for profit. I lose money and I lose time doing this. This is completely volunteer. I do have ads on a couple websites which do help offset some of the costs, but they don't even come close to paying for my costs. But nevertheless, some of the groups on Facebook, the largest one is called Chemtrails Global Skywatch, and that is about the chemtrail issue. Chemtrails is the slang name, of course, for those who are listening and know about this, for the ongoing aerosol injection program. Those are the lines you see in the sky. Normal jets don't leave lines. They just leave carbon, a faint carbon trail. They don't leave these trails behind them. Been a sky watcher since I was a kid and have never seen a trail behind a jet. So I wanted to wake people up because I smell and taste these things as the particulates descend to the ground, and they cause me and many, many hundreds of people contacted me. They cause health issues. So that's what the Chemtrails Global Skywatch group is about. And to quickly run through some other groups, Orbis Vitae is another group. It's called Breaking News
hold
from
on,
Orbis
hold
Vitae.
On just a second.
Oh.
Hold on just
yeah.
a second, Russ. Thank God all of that stopped and left. I even had a package delivered, so you can imagine how the dog was nuts. But I wanted to bring something to your attention, and I've been looking for it to send it to you, and I cannot find this post. But it's a really important post, because on your Global Skywatch website, it says why it is legal that they can spray us, and it's because we are not complaining. We are not actively outspoken against it, or there's a term for that. What is that? It begins with an A?
That's when you acquiesce. If you don't legally protest a law, or more accurately, a uniform commercial code statute, if you don't protest that legally, then you acquiesce. And then these so-called laws are just imposed on you. So, and that I think you're referring to Public Law 105-85, which tells
the says, you have acquiesced, and we can do anything we want if you don't stand there or speak against it. But I want to bring something to your attention. somebody wrote an article that I had been looking for so I could send it to you so I could get your opinion on it. And it was about how it is still illegal even if we don't complain. And so this is why I obviously it's so relevant that I would send that to you. I don't know why my computer keeps beeping. Oh, anyway, so I'm going to get that to you to show this man's contention that it is still illegal, even though we have acquiesced. So I just thought it was really important because I thought, oh boy, West Tanner needs to see this and just weigh in on it. But okay, so I will let you get on to the next issue, even though there was something else I wanted to bring up too. But okay, I'm going to mute myself again.
Okay, sure, whatever works for you. But yes, I do agree that it is illegal. But here's the problem, is that like so many of these New World Order issues, the incoming global government that is being thrust upon us and shoved down our throats, there's confusion. And that's the way that they're making this happen, is by confusing the public. So, yes, in natural law and in national law, it is illegal to spray and poison people. However, under Uniform Commercial Code, if you do not legally protest, then you acquiesce. So Public Law 10585, because we volunteer ourselves, and this gets into a whole big area of law, but because we volunteer ourselves as corporate entities, as personhoods under the Uniform Commercial Code, this particular law, 10585, applies to us if we're living in that jurisdiction, which we all are, except for a small handful of people who have actually gotten themselves out of the system. But getting back, you wanted
okay,
me to talk
so,
about...
Don't get back.
Go ahead.
I want to say something else about this. I feel that even if I just have protested, which I have in so many different ways, I could list them for half an hour, the ways in which I have vocalized my dissent and to the authorities. But none of them, of all the issues I've ever spoken out about, this is the only one that does not get a response to the point. I want you to show you how far I went to get a response. I had shown my congressman the chemtrails over my house. I then went to his office and set a meeting to show him the chemtrails over his house. He didn't look at the ones that I showed him over my house. He had someone else look at them, okay? He assigned someone else to look at them. Then when I went to his office, I showed them, I had made pictures of the ones that were over his house. And he looked away out the window. And I said, well, while you're looking out the window to avoid these photographs, those are the chemtrails outside your office. Okay, I sit down with his community person, and we talk for 45 minutes. I show him proposed legislation to stop it. And, you know, we talk about it. I talk about it as extensively as I had knowledge of it, okay? And I'm not the end-all, be-all when it comes to chemtrails, but I did my very best. And at the end of the conversation, he said, is there any other issue you care about? I said, I have a laundry list, but today I am here solely to speak about this issue. And he wouldn't stop. He's like, anything else, just any other issue, any other issue. I finally said to him, listen, I could ask you to get the recruiters, the military recruiters out of the high schools, but I'm not going to because today I'm here to speak about chemtrails. And don't you know, I got a 4-page letter about military recruiters in high school. So I just want you to know how far I've gone to another legislator. I proposed 4 different bills, including one to stop chemtrails. And all of them were very controversial issues. Beams, drones, the NDAA, these are not without controversy, right? Well, guess what? I've had a response about each and every one of them, except chemtrails.
Except the chemtrail issue.
That's right. And none of the other issues were not small issues.
Yeah, this issue is the mother of all issues. And this is what you'll see people like, for instance, Jesse Ventura did, you know, for years, has conspiracy theory and went and exposed and researched and showed all of these things, all of these undercover conspiratorial crimes against humanity that have taken place and expose them. And finally, after years, he actually covered chemtrails. But what he did, and there's a reason why I'm telling you this, what he did is he interviewed Ken Caldera and didn't look at the research, didn't look at the studies, didn't look at the eyewitness reports, didn't look at the toxicology reports, didn't talk to the USDA biologist who's spearheading this, didn't talk to the solar scientists, to the rocket scientists, to the astrophysicists, to the meteorologists, didn't talk to any of these people who are exposing the science behind the fact that we know particulates are descending out of these trails that are being sprayed by unmarked silver and gray tankers that do not have commercial transponders, by the way, and he didn't deal with it. Now, why does this happen? For the same reason that when you went to a senator or a congressman, and I applaud you for this, because you are an active person, you are fighting these things, there's a lot of things wrong in the world today, and you are bringing this to the attention, all of these things to the attention, and I love people like you. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. But when it comes to the chemtrail aerosol injection issue, it is the mother of all issues. And this is why when Joe Rogan, who had his show exposing all this corruption in government, when he covered the chemtrail issue, it was a smear campaign. When Jesse Ventura covered all these conspiratorial issues, he did a great job until it came to the aerosol injection issue, and he did a smear campaign. When you go to your congressmen and senators, they will talk to you about anything, but when it comes to the aerosol injection issue, they give you a form letter saying, oh, these are just harmless contrails. And all these letters sound virtually the same that all the people who try to talk to the representatives go and see. This
is
because it's huge.
From anyone. I never got even a response from, except the wrong response about the wrong issue. But of all the other people I wrote to, I never, ever got a response. Just completely mums the word. And, you know, it's funded somehow. Somebody's voting on the funding for this program, which I can only imagine how big that budget is.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be military. It could be some, because the jets I've witnessed, I've been a sky watcher since I was a kid, and I'm not a young man anymore. I've been watching the sky for a long time, and I've been in, I've paid attention to these issues for a long time. When this began happening, it spread from one area to another, and they had studies ready to disinform the public. There's a study that came out, of course. High-bypass turbofan engines have been around for a long time, but it's not until 50 years later they come out with a study saying, oh, these trails are just harmless contrails. Yet we haven't seen those trails. I have thousands of pictures from the previous 30 years of my life, and guess how many trails are in them? Zero. Today you can hardly take a photograph without seeing trails in them. They're in music videos. They're in movies. They're everywhere. So many people have the same experience you do, Sally, too, is they go to the representative and they get no response at all, or the other people who do get a response get this form letter saying, oh, these are just, you know, harmless contrails. It's like a form letter that everybody gets. But this is very likely a military operation because these jets do not have transponders. So it may be that it's funded by the military budget, which is, I believe now it's well over half of the entire U.S. budget is secret military budget. We have no accountability for it whatsoever.
I see. So Congress does not actually vote on the funding of this particular program.
Exactly. It's a secret program. It doesn't even officially exist, even though we can see it going on in the skies. So I believe it's completely militarily funded because, of course, the commander-in-chief, who is the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief of the military, must give permission for these jets, which do not have transponders and don't have markings that we can see, and they all have airframes of jets that are known to have been converted into tankers by the military, like a DC-9, A330, 737, 747. That's what I've seen since the beginning. All those airframes, the same set of airframes that are all known to be tanker jets, purchased by the military. And these are the so my feeling is that this must be funded through that enormous budget that is that black budget that nobody gets to oversee.
Or perhaps they're not responding because then they can claim we have acquiesced. You see, if they don't acknowledge the outcry, then they can claim they didn't receive it or that they didn't know about it in terms of Congress, you see. I'm just trying to see how that would – well, I have another question about acquiescence. The CDC has proposed a power grab, second to none. I call it their – I gave them the Larry Silverstein Award for chutzpah for this one. It's where they can – and that was on September 11th. I was doing an interview about it, and I thought, well, since it's September 11th, let's give them the Larry Silverstein Award for chutzpah. And this particular proposal that they put on the Federal Register claims that they can – I'm trying to be reached by Dr. Carly. I called her back before the show, but unfortunately she didn't pick up, and now she's is trying to reach me, so I'm going to be interrupted. But anyway, yes, they propose that they can, if you are pre-communicable, which is defined as you haven't had your full complement of adult vaccines, which is extensive and about to be exhaustive because they have 271 about to come out. So however big it is now, it's going to balloon. If you haven't had your full complement of vaccines as an adult, you are pre-communicable. Therefore, if you're taking a train, a plane, an automobile at some checkpoint to the bridge, a bus, if you cough, we can pull you off and check to see if you are up to date on your vaccinations. If you're not, they will offer to vaccinate you with what you haven't had, which could be, as I say, a very long list. And if you say no, you can be detained, possibly indefinitely. You can be fined between $100,000 and $500,000. You will, on top of that, be paying for your own detention, and they can quarantine entire community. I think I've hit all the big points there. And so now tens of thousands of people wrote in response saying, I wrote, I do not consent, and then went on to debunk the premise of their claims, you know, vaccines and their legitimacy. And but, you know, there were many of us who did this. And I have not heard one way or another if this will now be removed, rethought, or if it is implemented regardless, because we have not acquiesced. Many of us have not acquiesced. And yet, if I've seen this kind of thing before, and I've seen it be ignored. So this is a tremendous problem.
Yeah. Yeah, this is how they squeeze the public, is they're doing it like boiling the frog. They do it little by little. They're going to make it impossible to travel unless you get vaccines, unless you're sprayed with pesticides, unless you have the proper paperwork, unless you've given your DNA, unless you've received a mark on your right hand or forehead, whatever. They're going to make it impossible to travel. They're going to make it impossible to buy or sell. They're going to make it impossible to live your life unless you do the things that they do. And they're going to come in through the back door by interrupting your travel, interrupting your ability to buy or sell, interrupting your ability to own land. This is beginning to happen right now.
Or hold a job.
Absolutely. So this is how they're squeezing the public into this, into controlling them to make sure everybody gets injected. And so, you know, the vaccine issue just makes my blood boil, because when you research it, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll let you talk on it if you want to say something, but it's just such a misnomer. According, you know, the public
right.
has not been told
well,
the truth
all
about
I
this
can
at
say
all.
Is the greatest crime is the infant vaccine schedule. You know, they have 33 through the age of one. You can't benefit from immunity other than mother's milk through the age of three. So even if they worked, why are they torturing these children with needles? Okay, and then the pregnant women have gone within a year from four doses now to eight doses. And so that'll mean that kids will get 41 doses, either through their mother and themselves. This is murder. And it's so clear, and it is never acknowledged as the child died from a vaccine. Sometimes you'll read, they can't say that he didn't die from a vaccine. I was reading the Bears reports. They can't say they didn't die from the vaccine. Well, that's about as close as they're ever going to come to saying they died from a vaccine. And
So
poisonous ingredients are only getting worse. They've added E. coli to two of the meningitis vaccines, which are now mandated in New York State. And I am going to reactivate to try to stop. Certainly, I did everything in my power to thwart it, but I'm going to reactivate once again. And, you can't slow down for a split second.
Exactly. And, one thing I love to share with people is we talk about deaths from vaccines. Vaccines contain mercury, and I was mercury poisoned all my life until I was 35. I had my amalgam fillings removed. And one thing that people don't realize is that 200 of the most common diseases today, this is right from Dr. Hal Huggins, who was a pioneer in mercury toxicity, 200 of the most common diseases today are caused by mercury toxicity. Now, they may not be the only cause of any particular disease, but one thing that people have not talked about, and I'd love to share this on your show real briefly right now, is that when my body burden of mercury built up, and some people are much more susceptible than others because we don't methylate. Our methylation pathways may be blocked. We don't produce as much glutathione because our bodies have more testosterone. So high testosterone children have a 75% more chance of having autism, for example. But let me give you the symptoms that I had that were emotional. Hyperactivity. This is how I grew up. I was hyperactive, and I didn't get diagnosed with anything, but I was hyperactive. I couldn't focus. Your mind spins. You can feel panic or overstimulated. And I'm talking to your audience right now from the perspective of one of those children who is hyperactive, who can't control his thoughts, and it's not because he's a bad kid. It's because his neurological system and his gamma-aminobutyric acid levels have been depleted, and so he's overstimulated. So he gets super depressed, his thoughts race, he never gets a full night's sleep. His muscles hurt, his digestive system doesn't work right, he has panic attacks. If there's too much stimulation, this is a lot of times why mercury, I've been there. I'm an adult talking from experience. I've been there where you want to just isolate yourself in the corner and shut out the world because there's too much stimulation. It makes you overreactive. It makes you, you can even have fits of anger. I know people who've called me who are taking care of their parents, and their parents got dentures. And they would call me, and they'd say, we don't know what happened, but all of a sudden my mother, who we're taking care of, has suddenly got dementia and Alzheimer's and having fits of anger and, they can't control their bowels and things like this. And my first question is, how long ago did you have dentures put in them? And they're like, about 3 months ago. I was like, is that when the problem started? Yes. Almost invariably, because these red coloring in dentures, in some makeups, the red coloring in some tattoos, the red coloring, a lot of tattoo artists are using safer inks today, so if you want to get a tattoo, you need to make sure they're using safer inks. But this is mercury, and mercury causes this hyperactivity. You can't stop your brain. You feel angry, overstimulated, hyperactive, and this is in vaccines. The multi-dose vial of the flu shot has mercury, and almost all the shots given are multi-dose vials. And as far as the efficacy...
The elderly get a superdose. Do you realize that? They have a superdose of not just that, but the pneumococcal vaccine. They have special ones just for the elderly.
That's right. And, I think it was, I can't remember the year, but just as an example off the top of my head, I think it was 2008 where I picked up this statistic, and this continues. 97% of those hospitalized for the flu had the flu shot. And, of course, when you get the flu shot, you're dosing yourself with mercury, which suppresses your immune system, which is the opposite of what you want to do, besides the fact that mercury causes cancer, that mercury destroys the the tubulin and actin in your nervous system that destroys your myelin sheath, it does this over a long period of time. It doesn't just go away. It does faster in some people than others. Some people do get rid of mercury. That's why some people don't have these symptoms. But there's a certain set of people who don't get rid of it as quickly. It takes a long, long time. So 97% of those hospitalized for the flu had the flu shot. And this was in, I believe, 2008, if I remember.
I can back you up on that because I talked to an emergency room nurse who offered the same information you're telling me right now. She said that over 90% of the people who came into her emergency room had four reactions to the flu shot had received the flu shot for whatever. You know, the people who came in with the flu had received the flu shot, over 90%. And I just want to tell you a story about her really quickly because it's super important. She had, as a nurse, she had to take the hepatitis B shot. And she was working, before she went to the emergency room, this is why she wound up in the emergency room, working there, is she was an emergency worker. She would lift the bodies, put them on the thing, and they'd put them in the truck, you know? And she had to take the hepatitis B vaccine, which caused her fibromyalgia, which means that she could no longer lift people. So the vaccine she took, hepatitis B, to keep her job, is the same vaccine that caused her to lose her job.
Absolutely. And that's part of the travesty of this whole thing, Sally, is that people are sick today. With the knowledge and technology we have, we should have virtually no illness. But these facts have been kept from the public, and these vaccines with the poisons in them have continued to flow. And so all of these, like Dr. Hal Huggins said, over 200 of the most common diseases, people don't realize that. They might have asthma. They may get chronic migraines. They might have reproductive issues, digestive issues. They get cancer. They get leukemia. They get these diseases over the course of the years, and they never think that it's associated with the mercury that they were exposed to 10 or 20 years ago. We know this now. This is not a mystery anymore. But this information is being suppressed by the public while they continue to put this in vaccines.
But as with the chemtrails, when you're telling me the ones who do respond falsely, when I write to legislators about vaccines and I'm giving them the flat-out truth, what they respond with is, Dr. Andrew Whitfield his license was taken away. I said, you know, the bill that I wrote and I keep submitting to you is one that was written before I even knew Dr. Wakefield existed and long before his license had been removed. So can we put that to the side and get back to the facts?
Right, right. Exactly right. I mean, they use these little points, like they'll have one study and they refer to this study over and over and over again to show efficacy or to show, of course, there's no real studies that show efficacy, but let's, you know, on one of my websites, I have a beautiful document that was put together by a team of doctors, and it shows different disease rates over the years and how they declined. And here's the kicker. There's a arrow that points in the timeline to the point at which the vaccine for that particular disease began to be distributed. So let me give you some examples. I'm looking at Figure 1, Canada, statistic tuberculosis mortality rates per 100,000 people. Okay, in 1880, this was 200,000. This was pretty high, and by 1924, it had dropped to 80,000. Okay, by 1948, it had dropped to 40,000. So it had dropped down to less than 20% of its original level with no vaccine. And then they introduced the vaccine and took credit for eradicating the disease. This is one figure of a whole collection of figure. Measles, okay, 800, okay, this is all scientific epidemiological studies, 1935, 1983, 800, in 1935, per 100,000, I'm trying to look at the statistics, it dropped by 1959, between 1935 and 1959, dropped to about 50, from 800 to 50 on its own because of plumbing and hygiene. It dropped. The measles vaccine was introduced, the live in 1963 and the inactivated in 1964, and the measles rate slowed its decline after the vaccine actually started. It still declined, but the decline rate, the declination rate, actually slowed down of measles after the vaccine was introduced. But it had already been nearly eradicated before the vaccine was introduced. And then, so they introduced the vaccine. This is what the pharmaceutical companies did. They introduced the vaccine, and then they took credit for eradicating the disease. And so you've got all these ad agencies that are hired by the pharmaceutical companies that go around. In fact, I would love to tell an interesting story about this. They go around on the Internet. They create fake accounts, and they talk about how this vaccine saved them and how this vaccine eradicated this disease, but it's not true. It's not true. These diseases were virtually eradicated by simple hygiene and plumbing and detergents before the vaccines were introduced.
Well, I have a little joke about that. Instead of doctors without borders, we need plumbers without borders. Right, and the doctors just rush in and vaccinate all the children. I mean, they had only administered the cholera vaccine in Haiti. Turns out there were five other vaccines that were administered too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's why they just sent these tragedies to race in. And in fact, I got a call the other day because I used to support an organization called Heifer International, which basically delivers an animal that will give milk and sustenance and create an income for the family, and you can turn a community around by doing this. Well, I saw them advertising saying money for animals and critical health care. I thought, bing, vaccines, oh, my God, they've usurped, as they have Peace One Day, as they have Red Nose Day, they've usurped it with vaccines. Turns out they're really raising money for vaccines. And at gunpoint on Peace One Day, don't you love it? They have all the adults put down their weapons, and they send in 10,000 vaccinators to vaccinate the children at gunpoint. Okay, peace, peace. So, and Red Nose Day is another farce. And I have to tell you, I did a show about that. I've never had anything more censored in my whole existence. That takes the cake. For censorship, but I just want to say that this new thing, so I got a call from are you going to give us money? And I said, no, because you're vaccinating children. You're bragging about it on the air. You're giving them medical treatment. Prove to me that's not vaccine. When you do that, I will support you. Well, it turns out I called the headquarters, and the headquarters was saying, well, you know, the only medical care we deal with is for the animals. I said, well, what do you give the animals? And, of course, what do they give the animals? Vaccines. So I said, there you go. You'll never get another dime from me. Whether you're vaccinating children or animals, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, but the thing that really makes my blood boil, Sally, is that they're lying to the public. There's public money being used to disinform and to lie to the public against their own harm. Let me give an example. One of the groups I run is called Mercury Poisoning and Heavy Metal Detox. And a few months ago, something very interesting happened. You know, when all of this push to get this forced vaccine legislation in California and a couple other states was really at its height, you know what happened in our Mercury group? All of a sudden, and I vet all the new people who want to join this group, and I hope people are listening, because this is what's happening in your country with your tax dollars. They are lying to you. All of a sudden, we had hordes of people. These were brand new Facebook accounts that were just created within the recent month or two. All of these people were trying to join this group, and I looked through all of these accounts, and they would have one or two anti-vaccine articles printed in their group or posted on their Facebook page to make them look like they were anti-vaccine. Well, I experimented, and I said, wow, this is an interesting pattern. I let a few of these people into the group, and guess what? Within a few days, they start posting all of this pro-vaccine propaganda in the group. And so I would remove them from the group, and then I'd let a few more, and just I experimented several times just to see if there's a repeating pattern. And all these accounts were trying to look, when I vetted their account, they were trying to look like Facebook accounts that were anti-vaccine. As soon as I let them in the group, they start posting all this pro-vaccine stuff, and this happened right when they were trying to get these forced vaccination bills started passed in California. So what's going on here? The pharmaceutical industry hires ad agencies and other contractors to create fake Facebook accounts to push propaganda on the public. And so here I recognized right away that there was some push to disinform all of the people in our mercury toxicity group to try to get them to become pro-vaccine by creating these fake accounts. This is lying to the public. We need scientific research. We don't need people propagandizing the public using our own money to do it, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Still there, Sally?
True, and more true. Everything you just said, I could echo a support on every level there, but I won't take up the time to do it. But yes, nonetheless, we want to say that. So you, when you got these trolls out, did you find that this group is really, in fact, helping one another? Are the people in the group actually helping one another?
Yeah, the people that I let into the group are real people. You know, people who research this issue. This is the thing, Sally, is you've got two groups of people. You have one group of people who've really done the research, and they have a strong opinion about how vaccines do more harm than gun. That's the real question. People like Dr. Tenpenny are talking about, Dr. Mary Taco and other people, and Susan, who you talked about earlier. There's a lot of these people, some of them doctors, who are coming out and saying, look, they do more harm than good. And then there's the people who don't want to know. What they do is they stand behind this shield of the public disinformation campaign and say, no, I'm going to be pro-vaccine because I'm just going to believe these people. But when you start looking at the studies that say that this stuff works or say that it's not harmful, you can start seeing that they're using reference studies that have nothing to do with Dr. David Ayoub has a tremendous – we posted this on our website. It's got something almost 100,000 views now.
Right.
He did a lecture. Yeah. Yeah, and he did a lecture, and he shows these studies that the FDA puts out promoting vaccines or trying to debunk the idea that there's a connection between vaccines and autism, and he pulls these studies apart and say, look at the references in these studies. They're using references to support their case, and the cases that they're referencing, the studies that they're referencing in this study, have nothing to do with mercury, and some of them actually supported the position that was against the paper. So in other words, they say, well, vaccine didn't cause a – here's an example. Vaccine – this was one of the conclusions of – was it the FDA, I believe, put one of these studies – this is one of the studies. The study that they used to support their position said vaccines or mercury doesn't increase miscarriage rate in animal studies. But you know why it doesn't increase miscarriage rate? Because all the animals that were given the controlled mercury – in the experiment, died. So they weren't able to give birth and therefore weren't able to have miscarriage. Now, this sounds crazy.
Wow.
I hope people are listening to
that
this.
That is something else. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
So none of the dead animals had a miscarriage after they died, so the miscarriage rate was zero. Therefore, mercury doesn't cause birth defects or miscarriage. That is not science. That's propagandic lies. And that's why you can't just scan these studies. You have to look into them a little bit and listen to the people who've really looked into them, and you realize how ridiculous and how propagandic and how horrible the public is being absolutely lied to.
That is the finest example I have ever heard to prove that point. The very best.
Yeah, I love that example because that is they do that all the time. All the time, and
I hope
people got eight. Yeah.
I'm going to tie this in with another group you started, which is a laugh and a smile with this joke. Okay, so one will tie into the other. Are you ready? You will never live to be as old as you look. That's a Kenny Youngman classic insult. You will never live as old as you look. But it ties with the dead rat to the laugh and the smile. So anyway, yeah, you are totally a serious person, and I have to let you know, I have a group called Museum of Comedy. I was the director of the Museum of Comedy for 18 years. I mean, I used to be all about levity, looking for the joke and looking for the
punchline. No kidding.
You know? Oh,
wow.
Man, I used to be a ball of fun. And I lived to cheer people up. I put on 1,000 comedy shows in hospitals and homeless shelters. And when I was serving all the people in the hospitals and certainly the veterans in the shelters, wasn't I serving the group who were most maligned by vaccines, right?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, cancer wasn't around before vaccines. And certainly veterans are dying before they ever receive their benefits. And now talk about adult vaccines. S1203 is all about making sure veterans receive their full complement of adult vaccines before they can receive their benefits, which they've already earned, okay? So, yeah, tell us about levity. I forgot what it is.
That is awesome that you did that. And, you know, I do have a group called The Laugh and a Smile, too. And, you know, laughter releases endorphins. We were designed that way. It helps heal your body. And as much as I work hard every day, I devote time every day to raising public awareness about these issues because my life was destroyed. I had 4.5 good years of my life. The rest of my life has been destroyed. The first half of my life by my mercury from amalgam fillings and vaccines. The second half of my life has been destroyed by chemtrails. I'm a particularly sensitive person physically, so I'm one of the ones who feels the brunt of these things. I smell and taste the chemtrails in the air. So to me, this is more than a reality. This is my lifestyle. So this is why I do this. But groups like A Laugh and a Smile try to give us a little break and a little bit of time to try to keep our focus and keep our balance in life, just like obviously you see the value in that, because you can really drive yourself in the ground trying to work so hard and trying to do these good things for humanity, but we do need to maintain balance in our life, and we have to walk. It's kind of like having one foot in two different worlds, you know what I mean? We have to straddle this life, seeing all the yucky stuff, but also taking time to see the good in it too.
Well, I a compliment. Every time I talk to Robert Scott Bell, I'm amazed that he is able to talk about the things he does and still maintain a degree of levity, because it has been sucked out of my life completely. And I envy it. I envy the fact that he can do that, because I'm not good at it. I can't do it anymore. I couldn't even deliver the one joke I just told you. Well, it's gone. It's somebody I used to be, and it really upsets me. But, you know, I do share animal videos that are normally aww kind of animal videos with my friend Diane Steele. But I love the animal videos you share on A Laugh and a Smile. They really are funny. I mean, they're not just cute. They're funny.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of pet lovers. My business partner is a true animal lover. So taking time out to see the good in life, keep that balance, is really critical, because we have to, you know, we're running in a marathon. This is not a sprint. Life is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And I do think it's encouraging to remember, though, that in the end, these people who are doing this stuff to the earth and to human life and destroying the animal population and destroying, because we're all suffering. All life right now is under attack on this planet. And if it sounds like the coming apocalypse, yep, you can call it whatever you want, but it is happening. I smell and taste chemtrails. They're in the air 24/7. They started daily spraying us in November of 2005. They were spraying intermittently before that for a year or so. But where I lived at that time, they started spraying daily, and it took a few years before it was in the air 24/7. You know, it kind of would get real strong, and then the air would clear, get real strong, and then after about 3 years, it was continuously in the air. And we live in that.
Russ Tanner, my friend, I have to thank you very much for coming on the program today. Please post all of your groups in the comments beneath, and everyone will find them there. Thanks for being my guest.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Cheers, my friend.
Cheers to you. Thank you.